Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. The new book by Peter McNeila, M.D., the critically acclaimed The Lost Son, A Rock and Roll Road to Redemption and True American Parable, chronicles his transformation from perennial honor student to miserable physician to hopeful seeker and repentant sinner to ultimately a confident writer who found his voice in the great American West and returned home with newfound purpose. Dr. McNeila was born and raised in Buffalo, New York, outstanding high school athlete and scholar, summa cum laude graduate of Canisius College with a B.A. in biology, a graduate of the University of Buffalo School of Medicine, a master's in public health from the University of Buffalo, a family medicine intern, college science teacher, consumer safety inspector for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, huge music fan and concert goer, attended Woodstock 94, today pursuing his dream of being a published author. His book, The Lost Son, A Rock and Roll Road to Redemption and True American Parable, One Man's Unique Quest for Identity and Redemption, Dr. Peter McNeila with us on This Week in America. Peter, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really moved and inspired by your book, The Lost Son. Let's talk a little bit about the background and how you got where you ended up going out west to find yourself, sort of self-reinvention as you were out there. The background that I just mentioned, you basically were what, an all-American youth. You had success written all over you, didn't you?
Yes, I grew up and lived most of my life in Buffalo, in a solid middle-class neighborhood just north of downtown. My father was a psychiatric nurse. My mother ran a daycare center in our home. And where I grew up, I was a huge sports fan. Grew up as an avid fan of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. Just wanted to put a shout out for the Bills for making the playoffs.
I was just going to say, you have to be elated now with the success, and nobody saw it coming this year, the success the Bills had. And it's interesting, in your youth, you took your Catholic faith very, very seriously. You had a love for Catholic faith, your faith, and serving people. You also were inspired by science, and basically went from 17 on, you wanted to be a doctor. That was what you wanted to do with your life, was to be able to help people.
Yes, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I went to Catholic elementary school. I graduated first in my class. I then went to Canisius High School, which is one of the most prestigious college prep schools in the Buffalo area. One of the things that they require is to do community service during the senior year of high school. And I did that at a local hospital, transporting patients. And so by the time I graduated from high school, I graduated second in my class, which was, you know, quite an accomplishment at such a prestigious high school. By the time I was 18, I thought that what I really wanted to do was to be a doctor. It combined my both my aptitude and great interest in science with my calling to to do good for others. That came out of my community service, that came out of my faith in the Catholic Church. And so I went to Canisius College, which is also a Jesuit college in Buffalo, majored in biology, did research all 4 years as part of a scholarship, was accepted into medical school during my sophomore year of college because I had such good grades and great recommendations from my teachers, and I went on to UB Medical School, and did great as a student. The first 2 years, I academically had a lot of success, and then the latter 2 years of medical school, which is spent in hospitals, clinics, doctor's offices, doing clinical rotations. It was then that I discovered quite a sharp distinction between working in outpatient settings and inpatient settings. I actually enjoyed and did very well in the outpatient setting, doing family medicine, outpatient rotations,
yes,
and so forth. But when I actually got into the hospital, especially in those very extremely stressful situations, like in operating rooms, emergency rooms, ICUs, that's when I discovered that, I did not, really handle the stress all that well.
And it's interesting.
But in order to...
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's interesting in the book.
Until, in order to practice medicine, on top of 4 years of medical school, you also have to do a medical residency, which, depending on the specialty, can last anywhere from 3 to 7 years between medical school and when you actually practice on your own. And so I decided to do a family medicine residency in Erie, Pennsylvania, because I had been there between my first and second year of medical school. I really liked the facilities and the faculty. And I also just wanted to get away from Buffalo. I had spent the first 26 years of my life in Buffalo. I felt like I needed to get away, to be more independent, to get away from my family, which I'm, very close to, especially on my mother's side, which has an extended Italian family. And just, really just focus on becoming a doctor. But at the same time, I was close enough that I could still, come home on the weekends when I had off. But the downside of going to that program in Erie was that they required their family medicine interns to work 34-hour shifts every 4 days, and the work weeks could be anywhere from 80 to 100 hours or more, depending on the assignments, the particular clinical rotation that you were on. And just, it got to the point where the sleep deprivation just really, really accumulated. I suffered from severe anxiety and depression, and I had suicidal thoughts a lot while I was during my residency.
Yeah, and you share that.
It reached a point where I had to go. I was self-medicating with alcohol, and it got to the point where I knew that if I was going to have any chance to succeed, I had to start seeing a psychiatrist and a psychologist. And it was at that time that I realized that anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts are actually very common among medical residents, in part because of the sleep deprivation and just the incredibly long hours.
Well, when you think about it, you were working with 36-hour days, so you put in your 24 hours, and you still have like a half day to go to finish out the shift. And it really bothered you, didn't it, that you were not able to give full attention? You didn't feel you were able to give full attention to the patients and their problems.
Yes, I mean, now looking back on it, I feel like the forced work hours. I mean, we couldn't even leave the hospital. I mean, I almost felt like I was trapped, like I was in prison. And I just felt like it was very much unfair to the medical residents, and it was not good for patient care. I mean, laws have been changed since that time, and the number of hours that residents are forced to work now is lower than they were back then. But I really felt like it contributed to my downfall as a medical resident.
The book we're talking about is The Lost Son, A Rock and Roll Road to Redemption and True American Parable by Peter McNeila, M.D. His website is Peter McNeila, and that's MCNEELA.com. You can link on, of course, directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So for the first time after you leave medical school, you feel like a failure. Talk about that year and then making the decision that I need to get away. I need to find out who I am.
Right. So for throughout college and medical school, I mean, that's 8 years where I just, studied my butt off to become a physician. And it had just really become my identity. Dr. McNeila had you know, become what everybody, including myself, expected of
me. Yes.
And it got to the point where during residency, I just realized that I just could not continue on the road that I was at. I mean, I even had, you know, a suicide plan and everything. So I came to the conclusion that as much as I wanted to be a doctor, as much as I succeeded on the outpatient side, I just was not able to get through residency. And so I decided to leave residency, came back home. My whole sense of self-worth was just shattered. And so after, you know, I spent the next year trying to figure out what it was I was going to do with my life. I looked into other medical residencies. I looked into other specialties. I even went back to school for half a semester, thinking about getting into research. But I just eventually just reached the point where I felt like I needed a clean break from everything. I needed to just get away even from my family, from the everyday routine and distraction, and just get out and see, basically just see the country and find some peace and just some solitude to really do some self-meditating and trying to figure out what it was that I was going to do with my life.
Talk about going on that journey, because you talk about in the book, The Lost Son of Rock and Roll, Road to Redemption and True American Parable, Peter McNeila, MD, our guest on the program today. You didn't really have an exact plan in place, and you were doing it on the cheap as well. Talk about going out, getting on the road, making the decision to keep a diary, which you described in the beginning as a ragged diary, and the transformation you went through over what you called 3 wondrous weeks.
Right. So, you know, when I left, I had just a kind of a very vague outline of where I wanted to go. You know, I really wanted to see New Orleans. I wanted to see Las Vegas. Those were just two great cities that I had not seen. I had not experienced in my life, and I also just knew I had this extraordinary sense of calling that I can't fully explain, to go out to the, you know, the great American West, like out in Arizona and Utah. And so when I began my journey, I had to do things on the cheap, because, you know, my medical student loans had left me $100,000 in debt. And so I bought a tent, and I bought a lot of just non-perishable foods, and I just on a night-by-night basis, I just kind of spontaneously found campgrounds to stay in. And it was on the third night of my journey, actually. I was at a campground in Mississippi, and I just started to keep a travel diary. I started to just meticulously write down everything that I experienced along my journey, and it just was an extraordinarily cathartic experience. And so starting from that third night in Mississippi and all the way through my journey, which lasted 3 weeks, I began to experience a lot of these great things that that are covered in the book. And I just knew by the time I got to Las Vegas, even, that I thought that I had a really good story to tell, and it was just very important for me to keep documenting what I was experiencing, and eventually when I got back to Buffalo, to really work on converting this rough, you know, stream of consciousness,
yes,
travel diary into a book.
It's fascinating being with you on that 3-week journey, how slowly this transformation was taking place. There's a moment in the book you talk about, I think you're in Western Arizona. I mentioned, are a music fan. You're listening to Tragically Hip's version of Grace 2, and you burst into tears, and suddenly you described it as a spiritual reawakening. When you get back, you decide to write the book, but not just sort of a travel journal. You decided to, again, use your love of music and put this in basically a rock opera that you have written in book form that was your journey.
Yes. So I decided when I got back, you know, I'm a huge fan of both classic rock and blues music. One of my favorite subgenres is like rock operas like Tommy and Quadrophenia by The Who and The Wall by Pink Floyd. So I got this idea of kind of reconstructing my rough travel diary into the literary version of a rock opera. And the title of it, The Lost Son, actually has kind of a double meaning, because I thought of it both in terms of the prodigal son, the biblical parable of the prodigal son.
Yes.
Because I had lost my faith when I was in my 20s. And now, during this journey, I had a very intense spiritual experience just shortly after leaving the Grand Canyon. But also, more broadly, when I left on that journey, I was lost in just about every possible way a person could be lost. I was lost financially, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, morally, and spiritually. And so I needed to rediscover that person, that, you know, that young person that had so much potential, you know, as he was graduating from high school and college with so much academic success. But also to find that individual that had very strong religious faith that I had just kind of grew out of in my 20s. And so combining all of that with, especially when you get into the second and third parts of the book, you'll see just how much music really has affected my life. There's a lot of lyrics, you know, like from The Doors. And you mentioned The Tragically Hip, which a lot of people in the United States have never even heard of, but they are huge in Buffalo and Detroit because we live right on the border, and The Tragically Hip are just rock icons in their native Canada. And so I've seen The Tragically Hip 18 times, and it's just, they were just an absolutely transcendental group. Unfortunately, the lead singer got diagnosed with brain cancer a couple years ago, and they had a final tour in the summer of 2016, and unfortunately he passed away in October from brain cancer. But to get back to the structure of my book, so basically I came up with the idea of a three-part rock opera. Part one basically covers the past, which is everything that occurred before my journey, including my rise and fall as a physician, my experiences as a medical resident, my mental illness that was brought on by the stress and sleep deprivation of residency, but also looking ahead to the future for a possible career-defining trip. And then part two has to do with the present. It had to do with the first half of my trip all the way through the Deep South and out west to Las Vegas. And then part three had to do with the future, which was not just cover the return of my trip back to Buffalo, but also what I discovered during my self-meditation in Arizona and Utah was that what I ultimately decided that I wanted to do was to become a public health advocate. You know, I had experienced all kinds of cases during my medical school and medical residency regarding patients, with drug and alcohol addiction.
Yes.
With unwanted pregnancies. And so I decided that, after I came back from my trip, I went back to school, got my master's in public health, and that, in fact, the knowledge that I gained from getting my master's in public health even further informed the latter parts of the book, where I reflect back on both my personal and my professional experiences giving very specific examples, both from me, my life, as well as from various patients that I came across during medical school and residency, to warn and educate youths about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse, about unwanted pregnancies, teen pregnancies, and suicidal thoughts.
And you have such authenticity because you've been there. We started out the interview, and several minutes left of the program, we started out talking about your desire to help people. You are right there helping people. They will read the book. It's a fascinating story. If you're not involved in any of these the problems, you just want an entertaining book and watch this man's transformation. It's an excellent read, The Lost Son, A Rock and Roll Road to Redemption, and True American Parable, Peter McNeela, our guest of a minute or so left in the program. But also for people who have problems, you're really touching a lot of people. That has to be rewarding that you find yourself back helping people and being there as a positive role model for them.
Yes, and you know, I'm very much kind of in the embryonic stage of my, you know, my career now as a public health advocate. But I have been writing a weekly blog that's available on my website, www.petermcneela.com. And, you know, from week to week, I write on different topics, everything from public health to sports or music, you know, depending on what happens during the week. You know, it's not just purely a public health blog site. But, yeah, I very much... I actually just recently heard from a professor at Niagara University who requested that I come and speak to his college students. He's a biology professor at Niagara University. And so, you know, I'm very much just kind of starting out my, you know, hopefully my new career.
Well,
which,
it's
you know,
a career that, yeah, that will touch, motivate, inspire people. The guest on the program is Peter McNeela. Now, that's McNeela. The book is The Lost Son, A Rock and Roll Road to Redemption, and True American Parable. The book's available, of course, at Amazon, all the usual places. You can log on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly to Dr. McNeela's website, which is Peter McNeela, McNeela. Information on the book, the blog that Peter had talked about, and now focusing on youth advocacy, seeking to educate teens and young adults about health, wellness, the consequences of their personal decisions, because he knows firsthand because he's been there. Dr. McNeela, thank you so much for being with us on the program. You're touching a lot of people in a very positive way. Thank you for sharing your story in The Lost Son, and thank you for being with us on the program.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rick.
You're welcome. Once again, Peter McNeela, our guest on the program, the book, The Lost Son, A Rock and Roll Road to Redemption, and True American Parable. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.